Hi, Marcy.
Hello.
Thank you so much for having me here in your home. I'm still beside myself at the past few days that we've spent together. It's really just been absolutely amazing.
They've been full.
But yeah, so welcome back to the Finding Fulfillment Together podcast. I'm here with Marcy Nygaard, in Minnesota. And I want to start by telling everyone how we met, but is there anything you want to say before I jump in to that?
No, you go.
Okay. So in, I think it was November of 2022, I ended up changing my entire route, which was unexpected, to come to Minnesota in November. It was not on my list of places to visit at all, but I ended up coming to visit a friend that ended up being a mutual friend of ours. And this person introduced me to you. Completely unexpected. What he told me was that they had a friend with a farm that had cows and chickens and goats, and that they were spiritual, and that he just was like, "You're gonna love them." I'm like, okay, sounds great. And I had no idea, what was this gonna flourish into. I had no idea. And even when we met at that time, they were very brief encounters. I was here for only 3 weeks, and we only met twice during that time. And it was always in small group, it wasn't just one-on-one. But I did talk to you about my journey, about the spiritual journey I was on, and the fact that I was traveling around. And I know you asked me, and I can't remember the exact question, but you asked me about Jesus. And I don't remember what my response was. Do you remember my actual response in like any, vaguely?
I remember you were open, like it wasn't an immediate close off, but it was, your response was, "I've had an awakening." And so I have been leaning into that. I'm still searching what it means. And then I got a little excited inside.
Yeah, and I think I've talked about this on my testimony, but I kept running into people that were Christians and really bonding with those people along the way, but not believing in Jesus, not believing that Jesus was my Lord and Savior, I dove into so many different things. But you were special though. Like it was a special meeting and I knew it from the moment I met you. And I just was looking back at our text messages and I reached out to you when I left here saying, I've decided to leave, but I really enjoyed meeting you and I hope we keep in touch. And like your enthusiasm in the response like showed me, okay, she feels it too. Like you felt the connection even though we just had brief encounters. And I knew in my heart, I knew that you were part of the reason that I came to Minnesota. Like God had his hand on that. I knew it. And then it was like months later, I think that you just reached out to say, "Hey, where are you in the world? How's your life?" And I just said, "Hey, been thinking about you." And then you suggested that you said, "My favorite show, if you're looking for something to binge watch, my favorite show is The Chosen. You might love it, And I decided to watch. I watched the first episode and thought, "Well, okay, it's about Jesus." But I was curious about Jesus. I really was. I kept asking multiple people, people will tell you, I was asking, "What do you believe about Jesus?" And usually it was New Age people, so I got different responses. Some were, "We can all achieve Christ consciousness," or "Jesus was just, he was an ascended master." Not just, everyone gave reverence to Jesus, but in New Age, he's not the only way. He's one of the ways. He figured it out, but other people have figured it out too. And you can figure it out on your own if you meditate, if you raise your consciousness, all the practices that I was doing, you can become Christ-like, is what they tell you, is what you're taught really when you're reading all the books and doing all the practices. So anyway, I was so curious about Jesus. So I did watch The Chosen and I binged it. I love that series. So for anyone who hasn't seen it, watch The Chosen. Even if you're not a believer, watch The Chosen, right? It's so good. And it got me even more curious. I just wanted more. And the text message that I sent you after watching The Chosen was just, I can hear it in my words, like as I'm reading the text this morning, as I was looking at it, I was bursting. I have so much to say and I don't know where to start, I said. And I was just like, now I'm eager to read the word because I know this is based on the word. But I don't know where to start with the Bible. I get lost when I read the Bible, is what I told you. and you suggested the podcast 3-in-1, which I have mentioned several times on this podcast, but it's what I've been using to read the Bible. And now I have 7 days until I finish reading the entire Bible.
Wow.
I know. But the crazy part about it is I have been a non-believer the majority of that time. Mm-hmm. I was just reading the words, not believing it was the word of God, the words going in one ear and out the other or whatever, through my eyes and just like, you know, getting through it word by word, but not sinking in. And now that I've been reading it as a believer, it's just coming to life. Yeah. And I'm not just doing the 3-in-1. I'm reading the Bible on top, like more than that all throughout the day. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that was such an amazing suggestion. Such an amazing suggestion. Okay. And it helped me to really read the Bible, actually read the Bible, because I feel like one of the issues with people not turning to Jesus is that we are told, if you're not raised with Jesus, this society is really anti-Jesus. You know, everyone's like, no, that's fake. It's all fallacies. The Bible, it was translated so many times into different languages, and it's not in its original language. It's not actually translated to what they actually meant, and all these different things that people say, shunning it, and all the, you know, God's not an angry God, my God is love, and anti-Bible, anti-Jesus. Mm-hmm. Most of the people who are saying those things, repeating those things, have never read it, have never actually read it themselves. Mm-hmm. So that's why I was like, I just want to read it myself. And I'm so proud of myself for having that, you know, perspective and doing it. But it had to be part of what transformed me. But there was obviously, there's other things that were occurring that led me to Jesus. I mean, it's just supernatural. The fact that I came to Jesus is supernatural. I can't explain it any other way.
Definitely.
Anyway, I feel like I'm babbling, but the 3-in-1 and those two suggestions, chosen in 3-in-1, were so pivotal. Mm-hmm. And it's not like we were texting each other constantly.
Right.
It was just these two very important text messages that I said, yeah, I'm going to take her suggestion and I'm going to do it.
Wow.
And then when I look back at my text, I sent you a couple as I was reading the Bible, letting you know, hey, I'm doing it. Mm-hmm. I just finished Genesis. And it took me 5 months. You sent me the text in January telling me about 3-in-1, and I didn't start it until May. Mm-hmm. But I started it and I haven't stopped. I stuck to it, and that's why it's April. I'm almost done. I'm actually ahead of schedule because I'm an overachiever. I started it in May, and I texted you when I finished Genesis. And I said, hey, I just finished Genesis. I'm doing it because I knew I was going to stick to it at that point, so I was ready to tell you.
Yeah.
And then I texted you again when I was in Chronicles and Romans, and I had more zeal. I was excited about what I was reading. And then my next text to you was in February when I said, I've accepted Jesus. Like, Jesus came to me in a dream, and I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And just reading it this morning, I was instantly in tears because it's just so beautiful how it evolved the way it did.
Yeah.
How I had this curiosity and this, I wanted to know more about Jesus, but I was resistant, so resistant, but it was there. He was there, like wanting me to accept him, and I just kept pushing him away. But he didn't give up on me. Mm-hmm. He didn't give up on me, and you were part of that for me. Mm. Like, he put you in my path for a specific reason, and he fulfilled it. Like, it's just so amazing. And then I'm looking at my route. I'm planning on going to Montana to work on a goat farm, which I've been planning for a year, since last year, because my friend has these goats that have babies they do the kidding every year in April. So I saw it on Facebook last year, and I reached out to her saying, is this every year? And she said, oh yeah, it is. I'm like, can I come next year? So I was already planning on doing this a year ago. I end up being in West Virginia, and I'm looking at my route from West Virginia to Montana. It comes right through your hometown.
That's unreal.
I was like, I cannot go through without stopping to see Mercy. Like, I can't. So here I am, and I really, really want to just so deeply from my heart thank you for this visit. I did not expect, like, how special it has been. Like, first day here, the house is filled with women here to just rejoice that I've entered the family of God. And like, I needed that. I needed that so much because I'm a baby, you know, like a brand new baby born into this world as a Christian. And seeing these seasoned women that love Jesus so much and seeing them get emotional because I'm in the family now and they get it, you know, mm-hmm. because not everyone gets it. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people that are going to be watching this right now that don't get it. Mm-hmm. So to be surrounded with people that have felt at one point the way I'm feeling, and then to see that my faith is reviving their faith.
Yes.
And bringing the whole room up, and then mm-hmm. to pray together and to worship him in a group of women. I just didn't expect it to be like that. Yeah. So thank you.
Praise God.
So much. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stop talking and just turn it to you. And like, from your perspective, like just watching this unfold, like, yes. I can only imagine.
Well, yeah. And I want to thank you for coming like that. I feel like I should be thanking you. I think from my perspective, it kind of feels like, well, this is evidence that you don't have to be somebody super special. You don't have to be somebody, you could be a grocery store clerk. You could be, I'm a stay at home mom. It feels like just an extremely ordinary person, and it's God's story. Mm-hmm. So it's God's story. He's going to bring people to people. And I feel like he sent you to me. Because I really needed reviving. I just think that he does it in a way that revives us, but that none of us individually can take any credit. Mm-hmm. So hearing about your mother-in-law, Maria, praying for you, yeah. I'm like, well, this is the fruit of a woman's faithful prayers. And then the Holy Spirit is lining up people all throughout the United States. So it's God's story, and we get to be a part of it mm-hmm. when we just say yes. And when we have our sometimes I like to say biblical lenses on, when we're looking through the biblical lens and we see somebody, now we're seeing them through God's eyes and his plan for sharing life and making an impact on the kingdom and others' hearts, which is what discipleship is. So,
Oh my God. And it's just the feeling of my faith growing every day. I can't describe it. It's just amazing because I know that I started out so scared to just surrender, like fully surrender, to say that I truly believe that I'm going to have faith, because that's the step I think almost everyone is so, so reluctant to take because especially if you've been a non-believer like me and been cynical of it for so long and just wanting to prove it wrong, wanting to tell people why it's not the truth, why they're naive to believe it, and why they're so closed-minded. I just had this block so thick that for me to come around and actually say, yeah, I'm going to surrender and have faith. It was hard. Mm-hmm. It was hard. But then when I finally did and I started to talk about it, I mean, Maria was the first one. She was there every step of the way and I resisted her hard, you know? But when I started to reach out to you and to all the other people along my path that I met that were speaking about Jesus, and I knew that they were strong believers, I was comfortable telling them. I knew they'd be happy, you know, and that just boosted everything. It took the fear away. It made me comfortable to say, yeah, this, it's real. Like, look how excited they are. They get it because they have a relationship with him. I want that relationship. So I just dug into the Bible and I started praying. I pray like all day long and my prayers are being answered. Mm-hmm. When I have a question about something, I pray about it. And then I'm telling you, I'm not crazy. I'm telling this more to people watching that like the answer is given to me. Like example, I told you the other day, I was curious about in the Bible, where does it say that Satan is a fallen angel? Mm-hmm. And I asked that question and I asked it out loud and I wrote it in my journal. And I was like, I'm going to ask Maria about that tomorrow. And I just went to bed. And then I was woken up in the middle of the night with thoughts about that question. And I remembered that the very first time that Satan was mentioned was right in the first book of Genesis. Like that's when he tempts Eve in the Garden of Eden. So I was like, let me just read that. 2:30 in the morning. I'm up in the morning reading the Bible. And I'm like, I still don't know, though. This doesn't say that he was a fallen angel. It says he's a serpent. you know? And the only reason I know that statement is because I'm reading my study Bible. It tells me below, you mm-hmm. know, and I know the story, but still didn't give me the answer I was looking for, but I had more information. And Genesis 3, I just, like, the original sin is exactly what we keep falling for, mm-hmm. which I'll talk more about. I have a whole episode planned out about that next. But what ended up happening was before I even woke up in the morning, I had a text message from Maria with a link to a sermon that was all about Satan, all mm-hmm. about spiritual warfare, and all the verses that say how he's a fallen angel, where, you know, when that started in the Bible, all the different verses, and then all the other fallen angels went with him, all the things that I'm still studying. So I'm not even going to sit here and try to put into words, but I got the answers I was looking for before even asking anyone other than God, you know? So like, I know he's listening and he is communicating with the people that I love to give me everything I need. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I feel it. I feel it. Like, I know there's no doubt in my mind that if I fully surrender, fully just surrender everything, my life is his. And I'm going to obey and follow the guidance given to me. I'm going to be led exactly where I'm meant to be. He's already been doing that.
Yeah.
I just haven't had that full faith. And now it's like I'm on fire, you know? Like, I can't wait to find out what's next. Mm-hmm. But I'm not forcing it, you know? I'm just praying and saying, lead the way. And I've already met, even just being here, I've already met so many people
yes.
that I formed connections with and that they're helping me and I'm helping them. And it just feels, oh my gosh, we have to talk about Dominic.
Oh, right.
What? I mean, okay, 3-in-1. Mm-hmm. You sent me this podcast and you didn't tell me anything about the podcast host. You just said there's this podcast that walks you through the whole Bible. And I was like, cool, did it. Like I talked about, totally did it. So I've been listening to this pastor who walks you through the Bible. You do 3 chapters of the Old Testament and 1 chapter of the New every day. 5 days a week. If you stick to that, you read the Bible in a whole year, in 1 year. And every day there's a podcast that goes along with it that is less than 15 minutes where the pastor goes over what you just read. Mm-hmm. So I listened to the podcast, did the reading and listened to the podcast every day. So I've been listening to the pastor, what, Dominic Dinger, yep. right? For a year. And then I get here and you tell me that he's your pastor. I was like, no way. And you're like, and I can introduce you to him if you want. I'm like, well, of course, like he's like a celebrity to me. He's been walking me through the whole Bible and I didn't appreciate it until recently. But now I'm like, he's been an integral part of my journey and you know him. He's your friend, you know? So I got to meet him last night in person, which was amazing. I got to go to church with you and meet him and his wife. And the cherry on top is his wife's maiden name is Lemoyne, spelled exactly the same as my last name. Mm-hmm. Like she is in my family.
Yeah.
I mean, that there's nothing, like, how is that not divinely aligned?
Yeah.
I'm still shaking. I still don't know what it means yet, except for, like, I'm meant to meet these people. They're meant to be a part of my life. There's going to be more. Mm-hmm. Like, I can feel it in every part of my body. Like, there's no way, there's no coincidence that this man's wife has my last name. Mm-hmm. I mean, had it.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I don't even know what that means, but I love it.
Yeah, I remember seeing it because I was just like, Rebecca, I know through our friend, Rebecca. And I'm like, I need to text how to spell your last name or what is your last name? Yeah. And when I saw it, I was just like, really?
And you didn't even give me, she didn't tell me this until I was face to face with this woman who shared my name. And we both lost it. Like we both stared at each other like we were looking at ghosts. I don't think either one of us knew what to say. We're just like, what?
Yeah.
And we spelled it out loud at the same time.
Yeah.
Capital M-O-I-N-E. You know, I was waiting for her to put a Y in there or no capital M, like something different. No, she is somehow part of, I need to find out the ancestry now of like, you know, how we're related. Because you can't have the exact same last name that specific. Mm-hmm. That's not, you know, from America. It's French Canadian, you know, like we have like ancestry that's connected. There's no doubt in my mind.
Must be.
It's just so cool. It's so cool. Anyway, wow. So I just think, thank you for everything. And this is only the beginning. Like you're not getting rid of me now.
Good.
Like, I need you.
You're
I do.
In the family.
I need you. I'm going to need your guidance moving forward. Just being with you and talking about Jesus and talking about the word has just already improved my wisdom and, you know, helped me to understand different parts of the Bible. Like, but I know there's just, it's, I'm at the very, very tip. There's so much more. The iceberg is just so big, you know, like, so I'm just, I hope you're okay that I continue to turn to you.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, for help along the way.
Yeah.
And, you know, I will, I want our friendship to flourish. Like, I don't want it to be a couple text messages here and there. Like, I mean, I don't know. I just really appreciate you and love you. And this is just
amazing. You too. I am only a phone call away, and it will always be about pointing you to Jesus. It's always going to be about wherever you're at in your walk or wherever you're at in your questions. I mean, it's going to be like, here's where you can find the answer. I may not have the answers, but Jesus does.
Yeah.
And he's already got you this far.
Yeah.
He's going to continue to carry you. So how did the, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
How helpful was it to read those chapters and then have the overview? Was there so much clarity like through?
Yeah, it helped a lot. So I also have, like I said, I have the study Bible. I wish I had it next to me, the actual version that I have, but it has that bottom where it describes what you just read also. So I did both. Like I would read the words, read the description underneath, and then listen.
Nice.
So it was like a double confirmation, but it was also a different perspective, you know, which was really nice. It was like gave me like just more depth, because that's what I'm realizing with the word. It's like you can read it, you understand it, and then there's always more to learn. There's
always
lessons in every verse, you know. So the way that he would break things down, you know, in his perspective as someone who's been a believer for a long time and is a pastor and has studied this, was extremely helpful, you know, because if I was just reading it, there's a lot of things I would have missed that he picked up. And because it is less than 15 minutes, he's not hitting on every single line, you know, so you do have to read it. And he makes sure that he reiterates that like a lot throughout. He's like, make sure you're actually reading it and not just listening to this, because I'm not covering everything. And I did, I read every word. And you also, he does not walk through Proverbs or Psalms. So that's like an additional, like you have to add that on. Which, you know, if you do one a day, you end up getting through it, you know, before you're finished with the Bible. So I did those two.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Wow. And I love them. They're probably two of my favorite Psalms and Proverbs. Like there's so much goodness in there. And gosh, I just can't even believe I'm talking about the Bible like this. I still can't. It is just read it. Just read it. I just want to shout from the mountaintops, like just, even if you don't believe, just read it.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to judge it, if you're going to be cynical of it, if you're going to, you know, bash it, you should read it yourself and not just take someone else's word for that.
Yeah.
You know?
I had a friend and she came over, she was new. We were just getting to know each other. And she had said, one day I just sat there and I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to sit here and I'm not going to move until you speak to me. And she's like, I don't know how long I sat there, but I didn't hear anything. And I said, I'm just curious. Did you crack open your Bible?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, she's like, well, I took it off the shelf and I put it next to my bed, you know, dusted off the dust.
Yeah.
So she's like, I'm not much closer. I'm like, awesome. But if we do want to hear from the Lord, that's how he speaks to us, is
his word.
In his word.
Yeah.
And he does come to us in dreams and he does talk to us. Like we're talking to him throughout the day. And sometimes he sends people to people. But if we truly want to hear the will of the Lord, we're going to see it in his word, and his word is alive. Mm-hmm. And so we'll always get something new from
it. Yeah. Oh, I'm learning that now. I'm learning that now. I was just thinking this morning of how the Gospels, you know, that's everyone's suggestion is always to start with John. I've heard that so many times from so many different people, and I think it's a great suggestion. You know, if you're going to start with the Gospel of John. But the Gospels in general, I mean, it's history written by men who walked with Jesus, who heard his words. They wrote this down. It's not like, you know, generations of stories that were told and then it was written down hundreds of years later. No, it was like when they were still alive, they wrote down accounts of their life with Jesus, his actual words, God's actual words. It's right there for us. Like it's undeniable. And then the way that the Old Testament prophesies what happens in the New Testament, it blows my mind. That blows my mind. So it's just, there's so much richness. There's so much history. It's just, and even Maria, who I can't stop talking about, she's been a believer, a strong believer for over 40 years, and she's still learning. There's still new things to learn. There's still a deeper relationship to be had, and it's just beautiful.
Thank God.
It's the most beautiful thing. So I mean, being here with you, I realize how strong your relationship is. I did not, you know, I didn't know. We didn't spend that much time together. I knew that you knew Jesus. Obviously, you spoke to me about him. But you, I mean, you are like the perfect Proverbs 31
woman. Oh, gosh,
woman.
No.
I mean, in my eyes, what I have seen in this world, like the way that you live, the way that you raise your children, the way that you, your relationship with your husband, it's just so beautiful. It's so beautiful. And it's, I know that it's because you have Jesus and because you are following the word, like the best you can, you know what I mean? Like no one, like only one man was perfect, right, you know, so. But you're really trying, and it is, obviously you're seeing the fruits of that. And you know, like this, it's just, there's so much. It's like amazing. And I love to be around it. Like I just keep saying, I don't want to leave. So I want to hear, and you know, have the listeners hear how you came to Jesus and what your story is, like your testimony, and how you've been able to, you know, really live it, like bring it to life.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. It really becomes real to you, by experience, the human experience. Jesus had the human experience, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not an easy life. Mm-hmm. And everyone has their different thresholds of pain. I've come to realize that comparing pain is useless. Because if everyone has a different threshold, I might just get in an argument with my husband and be crushed, when somebody else might have gotten an accident and they're paralyzed. So they would say, what, how has that hurt you? I'm paralyzed, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That was something I have learned through the years, through experience. But I grew up in a Christian home. My parents became born again Christians right before they had my sister and I. And I'm so thankful for that, because they introduced us to Jesus at a young age and made sure they prayed with us every night. So I have a blended family. They had kids from previous marriages, and then they met, and then somebody introduced them to Jesus. They had my sister and I. So my siblings, my half siblings, didn't have their other parent in their life. So we were one unit. Like I just grew up as, these are my brothers and sisters. Right. I had no idea they were my half siblings.
Oh,
so
yeah,
I had a big family, youngest of six. But then they slowly moved away, and they moved far away. And, I was an athlete. I just loved being active, and sports came natural to me. So I excelled and played varsity at a young age, but I was all about my own glory, about being the best. I was never giving glory to God. And God, if I could go back, right? Like that's a gift that the Lord gives you, the gift of being able to use what he created you to use, and to have fun. And he's supposed to get all the glory, right? So that was the beginning of my super narrow-minded self-centeredness. And my mom was an artist, and I loved art, and so I would paint. And then I went to college for graphic design, and I lived like the party lifestyle. Just was out in the world, wanted to see what, like they were having so much fun. Before there was all these rules, and I wasn't really told why. It was just, don't do it because the Bible says so. So then I was out to just see what the world was. And I kind of collided with my husband, I'd say, because he was on the same path. He was raised to know Jesus. He was out in the world. He was like, you know, what is it that they're having so much fun? And then we met. And then I think knowing that we had similar backgrounds was like, same. And then we started dating, and we're promiscuous. We had our daughter outside of marriage. It was really hard because we knew there was a lot of shame in that. We knew we should settle down, so we did. And then 2 years later, we got married. 2 years after marriage, it just wasn't any better. You know, so we knew we had hit a point where the only way we were going to move forward, the only way this was going to work was with Jesus. We were doing everything except for making Jesus Lord of our lives. And it was, we were just wrecking everything. So we surrendered. And it was in 2007. We we're surrendering every area of our life. I could feel the change.
Yeah.
We would go to a bar, I'd have a glass of wine. And when I'd have that second glass of wine, I'm like, something's different.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm not supposed to keep going.
Yeah.
So it was like just this internal check.
Yeah.
And then we found a church and I got my first sisters in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like home. I'm like, this feels like home.
Yeah.
And then the Bible came alive to me. I couldn't stop reading it. I could not put it down. I was just devouring it, and I was writing, and I was writing all these notes, and then everything that I had learned as a child was now becoming real.
Yeah.
And then our church was like under new administration.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of odd because you see like, wait a minute, like we're all children of God and we're all in this together. Mm-hmm. Why is there conflict? Why is there an administration change? It was really confusing.
Yeah.
But I was learning about the Bible. And so I was learning for myself, you know, that we're human.
Mm.
We can make mistakes. We can misinterpret each other's intentions.
Mm-hmm.
Only God knows our hearts.
Yeah.
And then I had more children. And then I kept reading and I read through Titus. And something really stuck out to me. It was older women train the younger women to love their husbands, love their children, be chaste, pure,
mm-hmm.
Homemakers, and obedient to their husbands.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was just like, I gotta read that again. You know, like my husband's not always right. And I don't know. And then the following words were, so that the word of God will not be blasphemed.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, okay, I gotta take that super serious. I do not want to blaspheme the word of God. So let me reread again. And then it was older women train the younger women. And I thought, well, have I really been gleaning off of older women?
Mm-hmm.
My mother-in-law has been, and Keith's parents were huge at praying with us and mm-hmm. sharing the Bible with us and encouraging us. And before marriage, like they even tried to do like some premarital counseling mm-hmm. with us. So they were they're also very faithful. And my dad is a great Bible student. So he would always, you know, point me to scriptures. But I thought about outside of family, like mm-hmm. who am I gleaning from? So I prayed for a woman, an older woman. He brought two to mind. And the one that he made clear, I asked, would you mentor me? Like, I didn't even like know how to ask. And she just, mm-hmm. I thought she had so many people that she was already doing this, young women that she was doing this to. Mm-hmm. And she just was said, yes. Mm-hmm. Like, she just looked so honored. And I was like, really? And I watched her as she loved her children, mm-hmm. as she like would make her husband meals and mm-hmm. she would bring them to him. And she would share recipes with me. Mm-hmm. It didn't matter if I came over and there was a bunch of laundry, you know, we would just talk through that.
Yeah.
Then we would, I would bring my kids over. She was just so welcoming.
Yeah.
It was never like, that it was strict. It was mm-hmm. just so life-giving. Like, I just remember feeling like I was learning so much more than when I would just stay with the women my age.
Yeah.
And we would meet weekly. I felt like I am learning so much more, like practical things to live out from someone who has more experience than me.
Yes.
So then I, and that was for a season. And then we stopped meeting as much. And then mm-hmm. I heard on the radio, this woman saying older women need to invest in younger women's lives. And mm-hmm. young women need to realize that women with more life experience can point them to live for God's glory.
Mm-hmm.
And I just knew it. I was just like, yes, I experienced it. I read it in the Bible first and then I experienced it for myself. So I know what she's saying is true.
Yeah.
And I went online to listen to the rest of her message. And
mm-hmm.
it was so amazing. I was just in tears. And that message just came alive in me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, how do I share this with other women? And the Reviver Hearts had DVDs, video mm-hmm. teachings, and a book. And we have our Bible. And so I called my good friend, Danielle, pastor's wife.
Yeah.
And I said, I want to have a Bible study. And she's like, what would that look like? I'm like, I don't know, but it could go on forever. She's like, well, it should have a start time and an end time.
Mm-hmm.
And she walked me through practical ways of how to Bible study. I never knew, which is so new to wanting to share God's message. So I had that first Bible study and women were like coming alive to God's plan yeah. for sharing life. Mm. And that was just so revolutionary for me that I wanted to just keep doing it. Yeah. And if God provided an opportunity, I was like, I will say, yes, Lord, I will do it.
Yeah.
And I went home and talked to Keith, and I would just say, this is what happened. And this is what happened. And then it became, this message of, or I understood finally what it meant to be a life giver,
mm-hmm.
and that's who God created us women to be, as helpers and life givers.
Yeah.
I was at times being such a life taker to my husband, especially early on in our marriage,
yeah.
and to my children, you know, because I was just about rules and regulations, mm-hmm. and how much I could see that was taking life from them.
Right.
And so when I understood that giving life raises people up to be who God created them to be,
mm-hmm.
then it transformed my thinking. I mean, I still fail at it. I still have days where I'm super crabby, and then I can feel the air leave the room, and I'm like, I just mm-hmm. sucked the life out of them. So wow. yeah, I it's a quick reminder.
Yeah.
And so in this Bible study, that whole idea was taught, and the woman sitting next to you at church was now not just a stranger that I can put my blinders onto. It was,
right.
how can I see this woman as God sees her,
mm.
where she's at, and if there's any way I can breathe life
yeah.
Through the Holy Spirit, yeah. only Jesus working through us, pointing her to Jesus.
Yeah.
And yeah, the environment just became rich with the Holy Spirit, and that message just still burns in my heart. And
yeah.
the Lord has only solidified it through so many experiences, what happens when we become life takers,
mm.
and why it's so important that we learn, us women learn that we can be life givers. And yeah, I see it in feminist movements. I see it in churches mm. that are just, you know, go, yep, you love Jesus, go live it out, go learn for yourself. And it's like, wait a minute. Like, I benefited by somebody coming alongside me and helping mm. me learn how to live for Jesus.
Right.
So let's all do the same thing. Let's yeah. just come alongside people and help them. And
so beautiful.
Yeah, that's, yeah. I don't know if that gets yeah. us to where we are
it
today.
Does. Yeah, I mean, because I see that's how you live, not just with the women in the church, but with your children, with your husband, with your friends, with me. I mean, like, I see it, like mm. you're doing it. And it's so beautiful, and it's a perfect example, you know, mm. to, for your children to follow, but also for everyone around you.
Oh, yeah. Well, I feel like part of saying yes to God, I feel like it's easier for me to say yes, Lord, like, yes, I'm excited, let's
yeah.
do this. And
yeah.
I made a lot of mistakes, and so mm-hmm. I'm thankful to learn from mistakes,
yeah.
but they're hard, and I think that testing only refines. And
Yeah, no, I look back at, you know, the past several years, even, or before that, of course, but of things that I would have done differently had I had Jesus, you know, so, but it's okay. I have a whole new life now, you know, starting today. I'm going to start doing things, you know, well, I already have, you know, I've already changed so much.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. But yeah, I mean, I just want to thank you one more time. Like, it's been amazing. And I'm just so excited for the rest of our friendship,
yes,
you know, the
too.
Rest of our relationship and the way that this will now evolve now that I have Jesus.
Like, yeah.
So exciting.
Yeah.
Do you mind ending in a prayer with
no.
me? I feel
yeah,
like I love,
love
hearing
to.
You pray.
Oh, okay. You want me to?
Please, if you don't
All
mind.
All right. Father God, you are sovereign. You are all-knowing, Lord. You know, the end from the beginning. God, you call your people by name. Your sheep know your voice. Thank you so much, Father, for bringing us together. Thank you so much, Lord, for helping us be a part of your story. Just being even a tiny part of it. Thank you, God. I just pray that your Holy Spirit would reach hearts, pointing them to Jesus, helping them run to you, Lord. I pray that eyes would be open, that ears would hear, and that we would hear the word of God, and that we would do what it says, Lord, that your kingdom, Lord, would continue to build. And we pray that you would help continue setting captives free, especially through Rebecca's story, Lord. All the prisoners, Lord, that have been taken captive by deceitful philosophies, Lord, we pray that you would be right now sending people to point them to Jesus to set them free. We love you, God. We ask all these things in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. Yes. This is beautiful. I really appreciate it. I love you.
I love you too.